Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So if you're the Bucks and you can only franchise one player, Shaq Barrett or Jameis Winston, who you got? And Eli Manning is retiring today after 16 seasons with the New York Giants and two Super Bowl MVPs. Is he a Hall of Fame player? He had a career record of 500. So how do we judge quarterbacks these days? And what will Charlie Morton say in a couple weeks when he's asked about the Astros' sign-stealing scandal? What should he say? We'll discuss all that and more with Tom Jones, my former radio partner and longtime columnist of the Tampa Bay Times, now with the Pointer Institute on this edition of Sports Day Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, along with producer Steve Versnick. Hey, folks, if you're like me, you're getting tired of paying these high electric bills. You know, it got cold the other day. The heater was on the whole time. If you want to save 90 to 95% off your electric bill, listen to me now. May Electric Solar. That's right. They're a locally owned company, and May Electric Solar is the safest solar available. They don't use high voltage like many other solar companies. And May Electric Solar has a 25-year warranty on all their equipment and labor. They have a full showroom that's open weekdays where you can see their products. Now, May Electric Solar has been in business around here for 13 years. They've earned a great reputation with their customers and peers. There's a lot of other solar companies out there imitating them and trying to use their great name. But remember, they don't use subcontractors, and they do not subcontract for any company in any other way. So everyone knows it has to be May all the way. Let's stop the insanity of these out-of-control electric bills and start saving now. Call my friends at May Electric Solar at 727-819-2862. That's the real May Electric Solar at 727-819-2862. All right, Tom Jones joins us now. And Tom, I'm back from what was Pro Bowl practice the last couple days over there in Orlando. And when I say practice, I mean it's really not a lot, okay? We can get – I mean, first of all, I want to get your thoughts about Shaq Barrett and maybe who you would franchise if you had to franchise him or Jameis Winston.
Before we get to that, though, this okay, so practice, like, man, we're talking about practice.
What are we talking about? Well, it's so
– like, explain, like, what Pro Bowl practice can
I don't even know
be like.
Because it doesn't really resemble – I mean, it kind of resembles football. But first of all, 2 days ago, what was it, Wednesday?
Yeah.
It was like
this on Thursday night.
So. Right. So this was, But for the people that are listening on Friday, it was 2 days ago on Wednesday. As you know, the Arctic blast came through, and maybe one of the coldest days I've ever witnessed here in Central Florida. It was worse over in Orlando because it was like you're in Nebraska or something.
Yeah.
The wind was blowing 30 miles an hour sustained, like not gusts, just sustained. And the wind chill had to dip into the teens easily. And, of course, nobody's dressed for this, right?
Right. Of course not.
And these poor people are coming down to Florida thinking, oh, cool, bring the kids to Disney's. They'll swim. No. No, they'll be the blocks of ice. So it was miserable. And then, of course, the good thing about Florida is if you don't like the weather, it'll change, right? So the next day was pretty spectacular. But, yeah, Pro Bowl practice is it used to be an hour. And then it was 45 minutes. I'm telling you, if they were out there 30 minutes on Thursday, I would be shocked. Like, yeah. Literally 30 minutes. They come out, it's just hoodies and hat, ball caps, right? I mean, that's basically it. And I don't even know what they're simulating, but it doesn't look like football. And then the game has gotten to be an all-time joke. It's clearly the worst, and I'm happy for the guys to get to celebrate, bring their families, whatever. I mean, it's an honor and all that. I get it. But because it's football and football's a contact sport, it's the worst All-Star game there is. Right now, the NHL All-Star game is this weekend as well.
Right.
But they did some things. I thought they kind of made it interesting anyway, right? Because it's all 3-on-3.
Yeah, I mean, it's 3-on-3. You just don't have hitting like you do like in a normal NHL game. But it sort of resembles a little bit of hockey. I think baseball, I think we all agree baseball is the best one.
Because it resembles baseball, yeah.
Right, because guys are throwing real pitches and guys are swinging, making real plays. And everything about the game is the same. It's a real baseball game. Basketball, of course, nobody plays defense in the NBA games. But it's Yeah, football clearly the worst. And I don't know what they can do about it, Rick. I mean, there was a time when we were little anyway, like where the game kind of looked like a real football game.
It did.
Nobody was blitzing anybody. Nobody was lighting anybody up.
No, they had rules. They had rules, right. Yeah.
But it was at the same time, there was like real – it kind of looked like football. And now I don't blame these guys. And I don't know what you can do. I was thinking to myself as you were just talking about this. I was thinking, well, could they do like – flag football or something like something
that's what I would recommend.
But how would that be it would be good, play good on TV. I don't know how it would play in a
it might not play all
stadium,
that well.
You know?
Yeah, and here's the thing. Anytime you have a contact sport, right, like football, even in flag where you have to wrap your arms or grab it, I mean, this is how I relate it. It's dangerous anyway, and the money has gotten so big that I'm surprised these guys want to even put on a helmet after the season, right? You're Shaq Barrett, and as I do this, I'm going to knock on wood here, Shaq, okay? But you're basically waiting for a generational payday. I mean, it's guaranteed. Somebody's going to give you $17 to $20 million, okay? Right. And that's going to be for like 4 years guaranteed. So it's like not just wealth. It's ridiculous wealth, but it's what you've worked for. You're a guy that wasn't drafted, 5 years in the NFL, lead the NFL in sacks, and you're going to go out there on Sunday and do what? I'm coming up with a sore hamstring. I'm not
sure.
I'm telling. Yeah. And when you talk about like flag, so this is what I relate it to. Years ago, when the money was flowing in the newspaper business, we went to the Pro Bowl in Hawaii, if you can believe this. Actually did it a couple times after they won the Super Bowl as well. But in 97, went out there. It was the Bucks' really first, you know, playoff victory. They beat Detroit, if you recall, that year. Right. Tony Dungy's team, you know, after 18 years of not winning a playoff game at home. And they made it, you know, I think in 97 they lost to Green Bay. It was a great year. So they had like six Pro Bowlers. And this is when the Pro Bowl was played after the Super Bowl. So the Super Bowl players played in the Pro Bowl. So it wasn't this replacement crap, right, where now 100 players can make the Pro Bowl. So I went out there, and it was Warwick Dunn's rookie year. Now, Warwick made the Pro Bowl as a rookie. And so he was in the game on Sunday, but they had this thing called the rookie beach flag football game at the Pro Bowl on Waikiki Beach.
Right.
Flag football on a beach.
What can happen? What could possibly
go wrong?
Right.
A bunch of competitive, you know, NFL athletes. So Warwick was one of the few rookies that was in the game, but there were all these other NFL rookies, including – and I can't remember, I think he was probably in the game too, Tony Gonzalez. And so you had these guys. Now, they didn't have enough for, you know, 22 players on a team or anything. It was more like, you know, 7-on-7, if you will. But the defensive guys also, it was both ways. You went both ways. So Tony Gonzalez, you know, who played college basketball at Cal, I mean, it's like he's on steroids, right? I mean, the guy is, you know, 6'6" or whatever, can jump, can do all this stuff. And he's out there just balling. And then you have work done. And they played it on the part of the beach, which was really hard and full of shells. It wasn't the soft sand down by the surf. It was flat. They laid out a course. I'm watching these guys thinking, this ain't good.
Yeah,
they're going, they're jumping up for balls, crashing down together onto the beach on top of each other. It's 100 degrees, right? What could go wrong? Well, the next year, something did go wrong.
Right.
The next year, Robert Edwards, who was a running back from Georgia that had had his rookie year for the New England Patriots and rushed for 1,100 yards, he dislocated his entire knee. They thought they were going to have to amputate the damn thing.
Yeah.
And end of beach volleyball. Now, this guy, in 98, you know, like I said, one of the top rookies, and didn't play football again until 2000.
Again. That's right. That's
well, he
right.
did like, play again. Well, he played. He played in 2002, though. It was 4 years of putting this guy's leg back together. He played for the Dolphins. He didn't do much, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at his numbers now. He had like 20.
But then
carries.
He went to Canada. He went to Canada. Yeah, he had 20 carries for like 400 yards or something like that.
Yeah, 200 like for 107 yards. Yeah.
Yeah, not even. So then he went to Canada for a couple of thousand yard seasons, and that
like
was
Montreal,
his career. But
Toronto,
that game, that beach, that damn beach flag football game ended his career. Who knows what he would have become? And to me, if you whittle it down, you know, there comes a point where football becomes dangerous because you're not playing football, right? Like some guys are going half speed, some guys aren't going any speed, you know what I mean? And so I don't know, it's just really a
the worst injury I ever had. I played organized baseball all my life and played a little bit of football when I was in high school, and you know, I played in YMCA basketball leagues, and you and I used to play pickup basketball. The worst injury I ever had and I ever suffered playing ball was playing with little kids, and I was trying to be really careful not to hurt anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm jumping out of the way, and I landed on a ball. Funny, landed on my ankle and tore the ligaments.
Tore it
ankle.
Up, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. because I was not going all out. I was trying to be careful, you know.
Yeah. So. Same thing happened to me in college. I was playing fall ball my last year at Arkansas State, and I ripped the double somewhere, and I decided the guy made a good play, but I didn't want to have a collision at second base, kind of a bang-bang thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I decided, it's fall ball. What do I care if I get tagged out, that's right? Up, yeah. So at the last minute, I decided not to slide. Worst ankle sprain of my life.
Jeez.
Worst one. I was out for like 3 weeks, you know? So, I mean, when you don't go full, you know, things
that's
can happen.
That's bad, too, because Straub, what did you do? I didn't want to slide, coach.
Well, it did. It looked bad, but it looked even worse when, you know, I almost lost my job because of it, and exactly. I was, getting treatment on my ankle.
Look,
for 3 weeks.
I'm with you on this. I don't get these. I think, I don't know. Do they make money off of it? Is that why they still play the Pro Bowl?
Well, the league does. I mean, yeah. I don't know how much. I mean, ESPN broadcasts it. They're a broadcast partner. The ratings, believe it or not, are better than an NBA game.
Yeah,
I mean, people have. Sorry, it's sad to say, people will watch football no matter what.
And
you
they'll
put
gamble
on
it too.
Oh yeah, they probably will. But last year got to be ridiculous. I mean, nothing against Mike Evans, but like he had an interception in the game.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
They had defensive guys playing offense. Offense. It's just weird. But it's a good group of guys over there. I mean, I get it. It's an honor and all that stuff. And you know, Shaq Barrett is over there, which brings us back to Do Re Mi. So Shaq Barrett waiting on a big contract. Not a given that he's coming back to Tampa, although that seems to be his preference, and certainly the Bucks would be remiss not to try to make that happen. Having said all that, though, it could well be, and I'm not making predictions, but if I was, there is a chance that, you know what, you have one franchise tag to use on a player, and not knowing how high the money will go for Shaq Barrett, and not knowing whether Jameis Winston is worth the $27 million that you know.
Who?
The money. Yeah, right. Exactly. So maybe that's your answer. If you had one franchise tag as the Bucks and you couldn't sign either guy and you had to use that tag to keep him here, who do you use it on?
Rick, you know this game as well as anybody, and it's equally hard to find a really good pass rusher and a really good quarterback. There aren't many of them out there.
Right.
But I just seem like you picked you basically picked Shaq Barrett up off the street almost, you know?
You did.
Jameis Winston, he was the number one overall pick.
I think
quarterbacks are so hard to find, and if you don't have one, then you're going nowhere. And it's like, and I realize that the Bucks went years. They went 15, whatever. I don't know how many years you wanted. Well, up
12
years.
Well, 2005, and then Jason Pierre-Paul a year ago, not last season, but a year before that, was the first guy to have 12 or more than 10 since Simeon Rice.
So you've basically gone the past decade with almost nobody, you know, rushing a quarterback from the edge, and to have a guy like Shaq Barrett, what a difference that guy made. But at the end of the day, Rick, I just still think that I would rather go on the lookout for a guy who can get after the quarterback a little bit than a guy to be my quarterback, to be my leader on offense. And it's not as if, you know, this is all anybody's talking about, right? What are they going to do with Jameis Winston? Is he coming back? And you're looking around the league, and I'm watching you know, like shows like Get Up, and they're talking what's Philip Rivers going to do and what's Tom Brady going to do and where's Teddy Bridgewater going to end up and what's Drew Brees going to do? Is he going to retire? Where's Cam Newton going? Like, these are big questions because these are quarterbacks, and it's your whole franchise depends on it. I know that I'm half the people out there agree with us, Rick, or agree with me, and I never thought I'd say this. I think you got to bring Jameis back. I just don't know what other option you have.
Yeah, you've been consistent with that, and I think that there's some things that have to happen before we'll know the full answer. We'll get into Eli Manning and whether, you know, what his credentials are for the Hall of Fame and other things and just quarterbacks in general, but it's a good segue into what I noticed and what I think and maybe what I'm wrong about. So I'm at the Pro Bowl, and as you know, today, Eli Manning is going to actually sit down in front of the media in New York and go through the whole, you know, probably teary-eyed retirement speech, right? I mean, 16 years with the Giants, you know, two Super Bowl MVPs, you know, never missed a game, by the way. Durable. When I say never missed, because of injury, they obviously benched him, but you know, kind of did it the right way. I mean, no controversies off the field. He's a Manning, for God's sakes. So, you know, that's a big deal. But he's retiring, okay? So I'm at the Pro Bowl, And Drew Brees has been asked now for about every 5 minutes what he's going to do. And his answer is something like, you know, I'm going to take the postseason. I'm going to take a month, probably in the next month, talk to my family, see where, you know, whether we want to play again. It's a big commitment. You know, of course, my boys want me to play forever, but you know what? I'm just not ready to make that decision yet. And he's got his kids with him. They're meeting other players. They're, you know, he's carrying them on their shoulders. The biggest media contingent is around Drew Brees. It looks and feels, and the people are screaming their name, you know, who dat and all that. It looks and feels like he's taking a victory lap at the Pro Bowl. Mm. I think Drew Brees might retire.
Really? You know what? I saw his name the other day, Rick, as a, like they don't know what he's going to do, because I'd always assumed he was coming back, and I started thinking, boy, I wonder if you're a network, you're like banging on this guy's door.
Exactly right. And he's got options. Wouldn't you think you got options if you're Drew Brees?
Absolutely.
Tony Romo had options, right?
He could be in the Monday night booth next year if he wants.
Absolutely. And for the kind of money that they're talking about these days, if Tony Romo's worth $10 million, I know you're taking a little bit of a leap because this guy hasn't. But who thought Tony Romo could do TV?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Other than the CBS executives, yeah, nobody was sure about that.
Right. And nobody thought he'd be worth this much this time around. So, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, so this would be, I mean, it would be his 20th season. Now, here's how it affects the Bucs. And I'm going to, you know, I'll write about this. You can read about it on TampaBay.com. Is, okay, you're Sean Payton, and you just met with Drew Brees, and he's kind of on the fence, right? What does Sean Payton have to say? Well, Drew, the sooner you could tell us, the better, because we got this guy, Teddy Bridgewater, who went 5-0 last year when you banged up your thumb. Mm-hmm. And Teddy's proven he can do some things in this offense. And before he becomes a free agent and goes to, I don't know, Tampa, right, and starts kicking our butt, if you're not going to be here, and then, you know, then we have Taysom Hill, too, who we think could eventually be our quarterback, and maybe he's the guy now, but nonetheless.
I'm not sure. Is his contract up, too?
I don't know if it is or not.
I think it might be.
It may be. Yeah, but regardless, they've got to deal with two young guys, you know, either which it could be their answer for the next whatever years, because, you know, Teddy's only 27 years old. And whether you like him or you don't like him, I mean, I watched him throw for 300 yards and four touchdowns against Tampa, and he went 5-0 in that offense. So, you know, you got to know something, and you got to know it fairly soon.
Right? Sure. Yeah, I mean, we make it seem like all these teams have all this time because the Super Bowl's not even played yet.
Right.
But we're not that far away from free agency starting.
Yeah, March.
6 weeks, you know.
That's it. And so if he's going to take a month or he's going to take 2 more weeks or 3 more weeks, my thing is that if you're thinking about it, you're probably done. Unless you're Brett Favre, and then you don't know how to retire.
These guys work on a different level than any of us can possibly fathom. You know, they're wired differently than you and me. But I look at it and I'll say, "What are you doing, man? You got a bunch of kids." Same thing with Phillip Rivers, who's got like 45
Eight,
kids,
right? Nine, yeah, something.
So I'm like, "Go! You have all the money you could possibly have." Now, true. A guy like Phillip Rivers might be a little bit different because maybe he's chasing a Super Bowl. But you know, Drew Brees, you got your Super Bowl, you got all the records. You're a Hall of Famer, no question about
Played
it.
Played 19 years with a shoulder that they said you could never throw a ball again.
I mean, how much more do you need? What else do you need? But again, those guys think like I don't think, so, which is what makes them elite athletes and really good in their field.
And to Breeze's credit, I mean, for Breeze to be Breeze, like, he's always been a guy that has to go to San Diego, spend months out there training his body, getting himself, you know, ready to play, and so it's a big sacrifice. Even in the off season, right? It's not like these guys just like, "Hey, I'll see you in July."
Right.
You know, shake my hand, I'm loose. You know, let's go throw the ball around. So there's a commitment, both in a sacrifice by his family. Now, you know, the other thing, I've always found this, and you can speak to this, Tom, because you covered hockey and all kinds of sports in here in Minnesota and everywhere. I always found that the greater the player, the less aware they are of when to leave the party.
Oh, yeah.
And we got tons of examples of that, right? Emmitt Smith and Joe Namath and, you know, Johnny Unitas, and, you know,
I'll point out a guy who was a great NHL player. He's a Hall of Famer. He finally made the Hall of Fame. Dave Andrechuk was a guy who played a million years in the NHL, won a Stanley Cup, and then he had a lockout, and he was 40-some years old. Like, okay, that's it, right?
That's got to be it, yeah.
Like, what else is there to accomplish? Like, what, are you going to win another one? You've already won
one. It's a great walk-off right there, right?
I mean, your name's on the cup. See you later, you know. No, he came back and tried to play another year at age 42 after.
I don't even remember that. You know, it's so.
And he ended up like he made about like half a season. And he didn't play anymore. But it was.
I mean,
and
Jerry again, Jerry Rice, for God's sakes, who I know and you know was the GOAT, and some people consider him the best player of all time,
best football player I've ever seen personally. Like
right now, my dad would tell you it was Jim Brown, but whatever.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but nonetheless, you know, ended up in Oakland, Seattle, and then was going to be the fourth receiver in Denver until somebody said, Jerry, don't do this to yourself.
Right, and there's a bunch of examples. Like Johnny Unitas, he went to San Diego. You've already won. Franco Harris went. Emmitt Smith.
Covered Emmitt Smith's last game in Arizona. One year for Emmitt Smith.
But so, I don't know. So those guys are wired differently. But if I'm Drew Brees, Rick, I walk away. So ultimately, yeah. So what you're saying is, okay, if he decides to retire, that takes maybe Teddy Bridgewater off.
That might affect the Bucs and certainly the NFC South. Now, you go from, remember, it was the great quarterback division, still a lot of uncertainty with Cam Newton, okay, whether or not Matt Rhule is in the Carolina Panthers want him back. So if something were to happen where Cam Newton goes, we don't know Jameis Winston's future. The only guys that you figure will be back is like a 34, 35-year-old Matt Ryan.
Right.
You know,
and when you look at the Bucs, okay, if you like, it seems to me like Teddy Bridgewater was the guy that everybody was kind of maybe Teddy Bridgewater could come in for a year or two, bridge the gap.
The bridge quarterback, if bridge over troubled water, if you will. Yeah. But yeah, no, he was the guy that, you know, I mean, he's only 27, so he's not even really a bridge guy. But I think regardless, the Bucs are going to draft a quarterback. You heard it here first.
Like first, second?
No, and probably not the first pick necessarily. Maybe. Right. But I think.
Depending on who's there, I'm sure.
By the second or third round, depending on who's there, they'll get a young guy.
You have all these names. Like, we had all these names out here. Like, what about Tom Brady? Well, okay, let's assume he goes back to New England. What about Philip Rivers, who. Sounds to me like he might be retiring, but I don't know.
Well, how about this? How about Eli Manning is retired, okay, mm-hmm. today?
Yeah.
What if Breeze is next, Brady says I've had enough, mm-hmm. and Philip Rivers says he's had enough?
There you go.
That could happen, right?
Right, and now all of a sudden your options are Teddy Bridgewater, who probably then goes back to New Orleans.
Andy Dalton,
who...
The Red Rockets.
We'll see. I mean, I would assume they're going to Cincinnati's going to draft Joe Burrow and play him.
Don't assume. I'll bet your mortgage and mine will go to Vegas right now,
and play right away. Okay.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
Okay. So Andy, that would make Andy Dalton available.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm taking Jameis. I'm still taking Jameis.
You know? Your answer is always Jameis, which is funny.
It is. It's just because, again, it's because of the options out there. And I would, I'm not ready to give him, you know, a big long
$100 million.
No, we're not doing that. But,
it's good you learned your lesson.
That's right. Damn, Josh Freeman.
That's
why Moby Dick made
it is.
Great whale.
Who, by the way, is only 31 years old, could still be the franchise quarterback here.
Hey, I'm not giving up. What if he comes back? Maybe
no,
I still have hope.
Trust me. I went to Vero Beach, and he was going to make the Canadian Football League. It lasted 2 weeks. Something's missing. I think it's desire.
I think so. If you're asking me, Shaq Barrett or Jameis,
Jameis.
I'm giving a franchise tag to Jameis and then moving on from there.
There is a little warning label with Shaq Barrett, and I don't know whether it's real. And I was talking to – who was I talking to? Well, I won't reveal him, but I know who it was. It's an NFL – former NFL player who does some broadcasting. But that could be anybody because I was in Orlando. So the conversation was this, is like he did lead the NFL in sacks now, 19 and a half, okay? You can't really fake that.
Right.
Like you can stumble into 10 once in a while, right? Mm-hmm. But 19 and a half, so – but he's 27. He has only done it once, right? Like before that, he was just the backup, right? He was the apprentice. He was, you know, 5 years Denver, 14 total sacks, right? So are you sure? Are you going to pay him? And this is what we're talking about. Will you pay him like Von Miller? Will you pay him like a guy that's done it 4 and 5 years?
Yeah, it's hard.
Because that's the kind of money we're talking. So how much faith do you have that this, not that it's a one-hit wonder necessarily, you know what I'm saying?
But it might be a one-hit wonder.
But it might be exactly.
No, I mean, even if he were to have another really – like if he were to get 10 sacks next year, that would be –
That'd be cool.
10 sacks would be great.
No, you'd be all right with that.
Compared to 19, it would be like, oh.
It'd be half. I mean, I don't think I don't think you can expect even 15, right? I mean, like, somewhere between 10 and 15 would be nice, but 10 for sure, mm-hmm. you know, which he did in four games, about, you know, 9 in 4 games. But there is sort of a, you know, hey, are we sure that he's exactly who he – so from that standpoint, maybe a franchise tag works for him. You know, let's see if he can do it again. We'll pay him big money, but, you know. So I don't know. It's interesting. Eli Manning, I mentioned, we're going to talk about. So Eli Manning retires. Mm-hmm. 2 Super Bowl MVPs, obviously. Played 16 years. You know what his career record was, Tom?
I'm going to say right around 500, right?
Right at exactly 500. He's 7th all-time in passing yards. I think he's 7th all-time in maybe touchdowns, somewhere in there. He's in the top 10. I mentioned his durability. Games played, he's in the top 10. Hall of Famer, yeah?
Yeah, you know how I feel about Eli. It's Eli, I'm a real big Hall. To me, it's a no-brainer. If I were voting, it's a no-brainer.
Because you place a lot of stuff on
championships.
Titles.
Yeah, and playing big in big games. And that's where I'll say, like, if you look at the 2 Super Bowls he won, let's just look at those games. He was the MVP, right?
Yeah.
Against...
He took down the 18-0 Patriots.
Yeah, and then took down another Patriots.
Trying to be 18-0.
And they won those games on last-minute drives, or last two-minute drives.
Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm. I know the one game that was only – it was a low-scoring game. I think it was 17-14, but it was a two-minute
drive. He made big plays, huge plays.
Yeah. Right. So he played big in big games. And look, Rick, you know, just getting to a Super Bowl,
right.
Everybody says, well, anybody can win. You know, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl, so anybody can win a Super Bowl. But here's the thing. With Eli, it's not just that game. Like, to get to a Super Bowl, you had to have a lot of big moments over the entire season. You're winning games late throughout the regular season. You're going through at least 2 or 3 playoff games, which I think you went through 3 to get to the 1 Super Bowl.
Yeah, so, they were a 6th seed, yeah.
You're winning. Like, so you're making a lot of big plays in games. Like I said, it's not all about just big games, but, I mean, he's a big-game quarterback. Now, look, I know he threw a lot of interceptions. He was a turnover machine at times.
And had a lot of losing seasons.
Yeah, I mean, if you go from the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years of his career, I don't
he
know.
He made the playoffs one time.
Yeah.
And I don't think he won a playoff game.
Yeah. But, I mean, the first half of his career combined with, you know, he reminds me a lot of, although maybe this isn't a fair comparison either. Like, I know Curt Schilling almost got into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
As a pitcher.
It's a good comparison.
Although Schilling was a better, like, he had a winning record during the regular season, like,
yeah,
his career. But the reason I like Curt Schilling so much is because it was a big game. He played well in big games. And what about you?
I think he's going to get in the Hall of Fame. I would say this, that I don't know if he's a first ballot guy.
Yeah.
Whatever that means, I don't know that he's it.
I know exactly what you mean by that.
And here's my problem, and Dan Patrick, they were talking about this, and I thought it was entertaining, but it was also kind of an interesting way to look at things. First of all, do you know he made more money than any quarterback alive? Like, he made $252 million or something dollars over his career. It's unbelievable. And then his brother made almost the same amount. But who would you rather be? You wake up every day and you can have one of these careers, Eli Manning's or Dan Marino's.
Yeah, I know. And the Marino's the name that always comes up that –
You can't tell me Eli Manning was a better quarterback than Dan Marino.
No, if I have a game to play tomorrow and I have 27-year-old Eli Manning and 27-year-old Dan Marino, I'm taking 27-year-old Dan Marino. But if you're looking back at the end of my – just as far as career goes –
just as far as you get to wake up every day as one of these guys and, you know, forget about, you know, maybe the wealth for right now, although I think Dan's paying his bills. But, like, you know, whose career are you? You can be one of those guys for immortality. You know, you have that guy's resume every day to walk around the earth with. Who do you want to be?
I think I want Eli Manning's because of the champion. Because of the Super, I was a 2-time Super Bowl most valuable.
But nobody thinks you're as good a quarterback as Dan Marino.
Nobody does. But I played in New York City. I was and I did it the right way. He's another guy that I think could go on and do some special things.
Oh yeah, sure. If he wants to, yeah.
As far as just resume of careers, yeah, I think. And look, the reason Miami never won, never went back to another Super Bowl after his second season. That's you know, that's a funny thing. Sort of getting off a little bit off target here, but somebody was talking about Andy Reid, and does he need to win a Super Bowl? Does he need to win this Super Bowl?
Yes, that was a question I had. Yeah,
to be a Hall of Famer. And because, I mean, he's an innovator in the game, he's been in the playoffs a ton of times, but he's never won a Super Bowl. And the argument was, well, he's only 61. He loves to coach. He's clearly, the game has not passed him by. He's still very much on top of it. He's an innovator still. And he's got Patrick Mahomes, who's whatever, 24 years old or whatever.
Yeah, why did you walk away now?
Who's he may be back in about five more Super Bowls. And the argument was, if I had told you that Don Shula at age 51 with a 22-year-old Dan Marino would never get back to another Super Bowl, you would have been like, that's crazy.
There's no way. No.
But I don't know. You sounds like you would rather have Marino's career than Eli's.
Well, I mean, I understand the whole, you know, I mean, money aside and the fact that I can always look at my rings. Patrick pointed out, or somebody on the, you know, that when they were discussing this, and this is that, you know, Dan Marino has one really bad day each year. That's the day they play the Super Bowl. Yeah. I mean, that's it. You know, the rest of the time he can walk around and say, I'm a better quarterback than Eli Manning was. But he doesn't have the hardware. How much do you think that really matters to him? I mean, I know it matters to him, but it doesn't change who he was.
Right.
Like, there's nobody saying, I don't think, that Eli Manning was even a half, well, maybe half, but like nowhere in the same league of a quarterback as Dan Marino.
Right. And I don't think either one of them like would go back. Both of them are heroes in their hometowns. Like,
oh, no question. Yeah.
Well, Eli Manning can walk around New York the rest of his life and be, hey, Eli, that's a guy that won us two Super Bowls. And And same with Marino. He goes to Miami.
But if he wasn't in New York, Tom.
Yeah, yeah.
If he was in Kansas City, he would not be as revered.
Probably not. Even
New York has a way of blowing up their superstars.
Sure.
Joe Namath.
Who should
probably
be a Hall of Famer.
Probably isn't in the Hall of Fame unless he played for the New York. I know the Super Bowl he won was, you know, historic for its own, right. You know, the AFL and the whole deal.
Yeah, yeah.
But and he was flamboyant and, you know, all that stuff. But numbers wise, if he doesn't play for New York, that's what I mean. Like, is Eli if he does wins?
And I think that's part
wins
of
a couple Super Bowls for Seattle.
That's right, I mean, that's part of the resume. Like, I was a New York Giant. Like, that. Yeah. There's something cool about that. I like that he's retiring, quite frankly. I'm glad he's not going to try to go to, the Jacksonville and play another and squeeze another season out. A lot of people thought, too, that he didn't play that very last game. Remember, he came in and played, and they put Daniel Jones back in.
He won his last start.
He won his last game to get to 500.
To get to 500, yeah. And then he was like, that's it, ladies and gentlemen, drive safely.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm a big Eli guy. I really like Eli. And if you've never seen it, go back and watch the Saturday Night Live he hosted. He was really good in it.
Well, both the Mannings are, but now, who would you rather be, Peyton or Eli?
And you and I used to have this discussion when we were doing a radio show together.
You raft so bad on Peyton Manning.
I know.
And then he got the second Super Bowl.
That he had nothing to do with.
which he was a complete caddy for, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
He didn't take a shot.
They were like 1 for 42 on third downs in that game. And that made a difference to me. I'm a big believer in championships. I think that's why when I look back and – you know, and you mentioned it to me the other day, and you're absolutely right, because I was like sort of like dumping on Drew Brees a little bit, and I was dumping on Aaron Rodgers, and I'm like, they only won one Super Bowl, and you're like, how many guys win one? Like,
but that's the thing. There's not that many guys around that have won one. I mean, I'm looking out there, you know, and they got the NFC has Drew Brees and Russell Wilson, right? Mm-hmm. And they both won Super Bowls.
And Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has won one. But he's not out there. I'm trying to think of who else. And then you go, you know, then you got Ryan Tannehill and Deshaun Watson and, you know, these guys. So, I mean, there's not. Now, I think I'm with you. We'll talk about the Super Bowl in a minute. But I think Mahomes is a guy who looks like he could win a bunch. But to your point, after Marino and Montana met, you know, those many years ago with the Pepsi commercial or Coke or whatever it was, you'd have thought, you know, Marino would have been back, and it turned out Montana was back for three more and won four Super Bowls, and he didn't look.
And you just never know, like, who comes along, too, because if you look at it, and I've never been a big Philip Rivers guy, and you've always been. You
know, I like Philip Rivers a lot.
And somebody made a point the other day. It says if he had not lived in a world with Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, and Peyton Manning, what would we think of?
It's a great point.
Philip Rivers these days, because he was, you know,
yeah,
it wasn't his fault that the Chargers never got there. It's just they ran into the, like, some of the all time buzzsaws, especially New England, you know.
Yeah, they did. So the Tampa Bay Rays are almost at the point where pitchers and catchers will be gathering. We got Rays Fan Fest coming up. At some point, Charlie Morton is going to have a microphone in his face, and he's going to have to answer the question, what did you know and when did you know it about the Houston Astros and the whole sign-stealing scandal? He was a member of that team, obviously, pitched in Game 7, won Game 7, I believe, that year. So what do you think, Charlie Morton? Let's role play.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're Charlie Morton.
Yep.
Charlie, this is Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times. I don't do a good Mark Topkin.
Nobody does a good Topkin.
No, I know, come to think of it.
You do a little laugh. He does have a little.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
There you go. So the question will be, to some form, that Mark will ask, well, you know, Charlie, what's your reaction to, you know, the Houston Astros sign-stealing scandal? And you were a member of that World Series team. What did you know about it?
I think the way he's got to approach it is to say something like this, Rick. Like, I was on the periphery. I sort of knew something was going on. I didn't know for sure. I was a pitcher. I didn't get involved with the hitting. But yeah, unfortunately, I did know a little bit about it, not enough to say anything. Maybe I should have said something. Maybe I should have known more. Maybe I should have looked into it more. I'm sorry that I didn't. And, you know, I hope.
So you think he's gonna admit that he knows something?
I think you have to fall. If he did.
But does he go sharp? Does he just say, I knew nothing. I'm a pitcher and.
I mean, I think that's what he might say, but I'm not going to believe it. I can't.
You wouldn't believe if he says, "Hey, listen, my job is to throw the baseball. You know how focused I am. I sit down. I'm going over hitters. I don't know what they were doing. I'm sure in retrospect I benefited from it, but as far as what my job was, I was to go out there and get guys out. And what they did at the plate, you know, with respect to knowing what the signs were." Didn't really affect me at all. Yeah. Okay, Charlie, but you're a pitcher, so don't you think you benefited from that?
I mean, like I said, I probably should have known more about it, and I didn't. And because here's the thing, Rick, you can't convince me he didn't know, because I've heard those banging noises, and you can't tell me if you're sitting in a dugout at some point.
It's
if
like,
you didn't
who
know
the hell's banging
it,
the damn
it's like,
garbage
what the hell's
can
going
in
on
here?
Back there? Knock it
it's
off.
Like I got a freaking headache, right?
Right. Yeah. So. I watched Altuve.
That's why they went to the buzzer, by the way, in the jerseys. Because Charlie Morton complained about the banging drums.
I watched Altuve and I watched Bregman at their fan fest.
Oh, it was bad.
And it was embarrassing. You know, and if I'm sitting there and, you know, look, your manager lost his job because of this. Your general manager lost his job because of this. And you've embarrassed your owner. How about, like, take some responsibility? And I think if I'm Charlie Morton and I come out and just – and fall on the sword a little bit, people like it when you own up to it, you know? Mm-hmm. If you just sit there and say, I knew a little bit.
Contrition goes a long way.
Even if you a little bit and say, like, look, I was aware that something was going on, but I'm a pitcher. I wasn't a hitter, so I wasn't fully aware. I probably should have known more. I didn't. I'm embarrassed that I didn't, and I'm sorry that it happened. And I think at that point, people are going to back off, you know?
Don't you think he should okay, the next question would be, did you make the Rays aware of it?
Who?
And if you didn't, why didn't you?
That's a more interesting question there.
That's got to follow it, right? I mean, that's got to be.
Right.
Your team lost in the divisional championship in Game 5 in Houston where they lit up your pitcher. Now, maybe he was tipping his pitches, but they hit him six straight times.
Right. And you could also go even a little bit further and said, Charlie, when you pitched in Houston,
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys change up because you were aware of what was going on there? Did you guys?
Exactly.
Did you switch up? I think if he's just totally honest, Rick, like you can't, it's hard to get on a guy. And that's the thing, like everybody that cheats, I mean, you look at all the guys, everybody who's ever cheated doing anything, it's the lies that get you in trouble. I mean, we sit there and like when Rafael Palmeiro pointed his finger.
I have never.
That's right.
Steroids. Yeah.
Or I did not have sex with that woman. Like, that's the stuff that gets you in trouble, man. Just like, like own up to it. And I think if you were to own up to it, look, I look at all the steroid guys who we've really come down hard on.
Yeah.
You know a guy who gets a pass, like Andy Pettit admitted he did it. And he gets
the
a total pass.
Was that the HGH thing, I think?
Yeah. And he gets kind of a pass on it because he owned up. He's, I did it. I did it. I shouldn't have done it. I did it. Pete Rose, I'm convinced to this day, Pete Rose would be in a Hall of Fame.
If he'd have come right out and said, I bet on baseball, but I only bet on the Reds.
Yes. Yeah. I bet on baseball. I'm sorry I did. I'll never do it again. He would have been suspended a year, and he'd have been managing again. I really, truly believe that. It was the lie, him constantly lying about it, that people were like, nah, that's not going to float. What would you do? Like, if you're Charlie Morton, he had to have known, right? And if he did know, what would you? You're his PR guy. You're Dave Haller, the PR guy for the Rays. What advice are you giving Charlie Morton?
Well, I mean, I guess it's up to Charlie because I don't know what Charlie knows, but I would tell him as much as he can be truthful, but don't go into any detail. Like, in other words, you know, one admittance is going to lead to 10 more questions. Okay. So, you know, if you became aware of it, you're going to have to tell him about what time, you know, but like
and
anything
if somebody
in baseball,
said, did you ever
what I would say, is like anything in baseball, right? It's a team sport, but it's also really individual. I mean, baseball is one of those weird things. Like you win as a team. Now it's really pitcher against the hitter. I mean, that's the way the action starts, right? It's the only game where the defensive players have the ball, right? So so from that standpoint, you know, it's a series of these matchups, and you can't control your teammates per se. I mean, you could rat on them, that's for sure. You could go to Major League Baseball and be a whistleblower and say,
let me ask you that question.
I pitched for the Houston Astros, and we're cheating, and I don't feel good about it.
Jessica Mendoza from ESPN came out and said something.
Pedro Martinez
has since come out and criticized and saying you don't rat on your teammates.
Horrible Rick, take as well.
You know these aren't the only two people thinking that.
I think most of them probably do.
Players across Major League Baseball. Now, you played the game.
Yeah.
You've covered the game. You know what it's like. I mean, are they right? I mean, should Mike Friars have kept his mouth shut?
I mean, but you can't love baseball and then say, I mean, it's two questions, really. I mean, it's like, yeah, there is a code. Yeah, there is it being a teammate. And you know, sort of, you know, he had no code, he had no honor, and God was watching. I mean, you know. But I think that if you love baseball, you don't want anything to tarnish the game, and you have to have integrity in the sport, or you have no sport. I mean, you have no sport. Once people think that something's fixed, or that something is rigged, or that something is unfair, then you've destroyed your sport. Okay, so everything you do, if you love the game from the time you're 8 years old, or you make your living doing it, then you have to appreciate anything that will keep corruption out of your game, because there is no game with it. So from that standpoint, I don't know how you sort of square that, you know, he ratted out. Well, yeah, and he might have saved baseball.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, he didn't do it while he was, and maybe people think it's the ultimate hypocrisy because he didn't do it
when
he was benefiting from it, but then when he was getting lit, and he did get lit up. There's a box score where, you know, he gave up 15 runs in Houston. I mean, he didn't give up 15, but he got tagged for most of them, and they beat the hell out of Fires like 15-2.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure when he's out there realizing that they've got everything I throw, they know what's coming, I'm sure it got a little frustrating being on the other side, right?
Right.
So he called him out. But baseball's better. I mean, do we always like whistleblowers? I mean, is this what talk about a nation right now, what we're going through politically? And you cover that story for the Poynter Institute. I mean, are we, you know, if that's going to be our take, then we better be ready to live with all the corruption that's coming our way.
I think I think those were horrible takes, and especially had a problem that Jessica Mendoza. And
she works for the Mets.
She works for the Mets, and Pedro works for the Red Sox. But Yeah. It sounds like Jessica Mendoza has a much more active role with the Mets than Pedro does. But it's a I thought they were bad takes. Now, I'll listen a little bit to the argument of why didn't you say something at the time? I think that would have been a much harder thing to.
I think it would have been too.
Teammates, while you're playing, I don't think it was like I want to benefit from it. I think you're scared. And then later, I think he realized he came around to it and said, okay, this wasn't right. The other one, too, is A.J. Hinch. Like, I know everybody feels a little bit bad. It sounds like Hinch was trying to disconnect it or he damaged it and they kept replacing it. Like, who was in charge there? It's not like Alex Cora was in charge, you know?
Yeah, how's the bench coach top the man? Why didn't you fire him?
Right. And if you – why aren't you if you're A.J. Finch, why aren't you going to – if you know what's going on, saying we need to
exactly, you go. You could go to the owner. You could go to baseball.
Right, exactly. So,
but your job is to control these inmates. So, right. Yeah, I don't. It's a bad look for baseball. But I don't get the whole let's dump on the whistleblower kind of thing.
Yeah, how about we dump on the cheaters? And I'll be interested in what Charlie Morton has to say about it, because it seems like Charlie Morton. He's a good guy, a stand up guy. I hope he doesn't plead the fifth. Although I would not.
What if he goes, I don't know anything about it.
I have no idea.
I swear to God, guys. I mean, if I'd have known, I'd have told our players, but you can ask any teammate in here. If I'd have known, I'd let everybody know.
I just have a hard time believing that, though. I just would have a hard time. Like I said, I sit in the office and somebody coughs too much, and I'm like, what's the deal with Steve over there coughing all the time, man? Like, you can tell me they're banging on his
garbage cans going. Yeah. So what the hell? Yeah, no, it's not a good look. All right,
like
we got the
garbage can. Like in a garbage can, like I can't even. Do you ever look at a dugout floor? Like they don't even use garbage cans. Like the only reason they have a garbage can is to bang on it.
That's a great point too. Yeah. All right, Super Bowl Sunday's coming up. I might not talk to you before then, but we got the whole week of Super Bowl. You mentioned Andy Reid's going to be a big story, obviously in Miami. San Francisco, great defense and it's great offense. We've got lots of storylines. Who do you like and why do you like them? I mean, what's your initial prognosis a week away?
My initial instinct is always to take the team with the best quarterback and the best player in the game, and that's Patrick Mahomes. But, Rick, there's something about San Francisco that I really like. I really like that defense. And I remember
Sourdough bread is what I like. Yeah.
The last time I had this feeling of – while this quarterback and this team is really good was when Peyton Manning took Denver against Seattle. And
I thought,
Peyton Manning, this is when Peyton Manning was still Peyton Manning. You know, he's still.
Yeah, he was lighting them up.
Yeah, and I thought, okay, you take the player team with the best quarterback, and Seattle shut them down, man. And it was a beatdown.
We have lots of examples of that, don't we?
Yeah.
Bucks, Oakland.
Sure. Rich Gannon was the MVP that year.
Yeah, number one offense in the league, yeah.
Right, and I'm sure there have been other incidents. You know, Trent Dilfer played on a team with a really great defense. Look, the first, you know, I'm going to date myself here, but some of the old Steeler teams, the first couple of years the Steelers won, Terry Bradshaw going up against Roger Staubach, Fran Tarkenton. Yeah. Steelers, like defensively, they dominated those games. So I think Jimmy Garoppolo is good enough, and I think that offensive line is really good. I think they can run the football.
They can run the football.
Kansas City did a good job shutting down the Tennessee's running game, but – mm-hmm. I don't, like I said, so my initial instinct was to take Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, but boy, deep down,
you're kind of waffling still.
I think if I had to pick, I think I'll go 49ers. Just something tells me it's the 49ers game is going to win this game.
It's interesting.
It's early for you.
I don't really have a feel just yet. Yeah. Sometimes you get down there and you get a feel, you know, like the year that the Eagles won, I just got a sense that they were going to win because they were just so loose and confident, and I couldn't really explain it. And of course, it was a crazy game, but you know, Atlanta, I never thought had a chance, and they were up 28-3 and blew it. Like that should have never happened. I mean, the Super Bowl is unpredictable sometimes, and then of late they've been close games, but there's also been the outliers where their routes. But I think that San Francisco has the ability to keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands, and that's probably a good idea. But I wouldn't – like, I think people are dumping on Jimmy Garoppolo a little too much because he only had to throw it 7 times. Look, he didn't – I mean, it's not like he's not capable. They didn't have to throw the ball. Why would you throw it, right? I mean, they were – but think about how you have to do to take a grown man and impose your will and come off the ball that many times when they know you're running it and they can't stop you. How hopeless must you be in a situation like that, the way the Packers were. And if you can do that to a grown-ass football team that's in the NFC Championship game, I think you're pretty good.
I listened to a lot of people talking about San Francisco. They said they weren't doing anything tricky. They were just lining it up. They could have told Green Bay what the count was.
Well, they did, more or less. I mean, they only threw it seven times.
Snap it on two, and we're going to knock it down your throat. When Kansas City, as soon as they walked off the field last year's AFC Championship, mm-hmm. if you'd have told me they'll be back in the Super Bowl next year, I'd have said, mm-hmm. okay, yeah, I can buy that, because they came – an offsides away from being in the Super Bowl last year.
Mm-hmm.
But when you watched the 49ers you watched them on opening day this year.
I didn't think they were that good. No.
Did you think they were Super Bowl?
No, I didn't. I actually thought the Bucs were better. I didn't know what kind of year they're going to have. I thought obviously they weren't going to be 4-12 because Garoppolo was back, but that was his first game, and you know, coming off a knee, you figure they'll be slow starters on offense.
Didn't play much in the preseason, right?
You know, Nick Bosa really hadn't played a lot because his last year at Ohio State he was out. But man, when you see those guys and the speed that they play with, and the it reminds me a little bit of the Bucs defense when they were humming. It didn't matter who they played. It didn't matter what the scheme was. It didn't matter if they were a passing team or they ran the ball or they scored a lot. Like in the greatest show on turf, that was not a Super Bowl team. That was the 99 defense. But they played, you know, a team that scored a ton of points, and they had them. They were winning 6-5 with 4 minutes to go. 6-5.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, when you see those guys up close, and they got 5 number one draft picks that play on the defensive line, not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Number one, you know, first round draft picks, they're just such a handful. And I don't know. You know, the thing about Kansas City is they fixed their defense. That's why they're in this game. Mm-hmm. They got a new coordinator. They needed to have an overhaul. They went out and got a bunch of new players. And that's why, you know, they're pretty good too. They can play both sides of the ball. But Mahomes is unique and he's special. And maybe we'll be talking about him like Dan Marino.
Maybe.
You know, remember that year he went to the Super Bowl and we thought he was going to win 10 of them and he didn't win any. You know, you just don't know.
You know, the thing too, if I'm a Bucs fan and I'm looking at San Francisco and I was like, oh, doggone it. Because, look, they went to the NFC Championship game, lost. Remember this back when they had Alex Smith and then Kaepernick came on. So they go to the FC and lose, go to the Super Bowl and lose. The Harbaugh game.
Yeah.
And then they come back and they went to the NFC Championship game the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then they went in, they, you know.
They blew it up.
Then they blew it up. And, I mean, remember Chip Kelly was there. 2-14. Yeah. They were 2-14 3 years ago.
Thomas Sulo, remember him?
Thomas was there for like a minute.
Yeah.
And then they bring in Kyle Shanahan, you know, and
they lose their nine straight games to start his career.
Mm-hmm. Right. And here they are in the NFC NFC champions, and they're in the Super Bowl, and there's no reason to think that they can't be for a contender for several years.
And
John Lynch is their GM, and they had a quarterback that they didn't have a couple years ago.
No.
And it's like, doggone it, how come we can't get nice things? You know,
12
like,
straight years, we can't have nice things, yeah. That's exactly what you're thinking. And, you know, and John Romano wrote about this in the Tampa Bay Times. It's like, it's not just the quarterbacks now it's the front office, you know, and – hey, we'll see what the rest of the story is with Jason Light and under Bruce Arians. But you've had, and going pre-Jason, I mean, you've had Jerry Angelo go to a Super Bowl, didn't win, but went to one. You had Tim Ruskell go to a Super Bowl, didn't win, but was there.
Right.
Rich McKay, when he was, you know, a general manager, went to an NFC Championship. I mean, you've had guys now do things, and in the last 12 years, Mark Dominic and Jason – and in a couple of years of Bruce Allen, not the same. And then, you know, I don't blame them for not hiring Lynch because I don't think they knew necessarily John wanted to be a GM. But why didn't you know?
Right.
You know what it tells me? There were a lot of really smart guys that played on that football team back in the day. Look at all the guys that are doing broadcasting now, right? You got to be a smart guy and really understand football. And this is the cradle of broadcasters of you know, former mm-hmm. Bucs players and coaches. Look at the coaches, right?
Not just broadcasters, Rick. Good broadcasters.
Yeah, top. Tony I mean, John Dungy's, was with Tony the number Dungy's, two team.
Tony Dungy's a really good broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. John Gruden was a really good broadcaster. But even going back further than that, like, you know, Warren Sapp was good on TV. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's got Rondé Barber's good on television.
Rondé's good, yeah.
Keyshawn Johnson's good on television.
Like, still doing it for ESPN,
yeah. These guys.
But these were all smart guys that. No one seen the Buccaneers anyway, never other than Shelton Quarles, right?
Right.
Where are all the former Bucks with the jobs at for the organization? Mm-hmm. They're all so smart, including Stanford educated John Lynch.
Is that a Glazer thing or what?
I don't know. I mean, they had them all there. You know what I mean? They won for a reason. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just their physical ability. They were coached by a very smart guy who, as you mentioned, is still a pretty smart guy today on NBC every Sunday. So I don't know. Seems like you should probably use your resources. You know who else has a bunch of smart guys? The Rays. Yeah. Look at Major League Baseball. They know what they are. They keep hiring Rays people everywhere you look.
And the funny thing is, when the Rays hire these guys, nobody's ever heard.
No one's ever heard of them.
I didn't know Joe Madden before they hired
Chain him. Bloom, really?
Yeah. Andrew Friedman, didn't know.
Andrew Friedman, who's he?
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. And look at the, now you got managers everywhere. So, yeah, good organizations might want to, I mean, you know, look inward. You might have some good guys on your own staff. You never know. Well, what do you got going on at Pointer in the newsletter this week, Tommy?
Well, big news on Thursday. Jim Lehrer from
Lehrer
Report. He passed away, age 85. Mm-hmm. Boy, what a legend. Like, I'm reading up on him today, but that was good. We got impeachment stuff.
Yeah.
So the TV ratings, more people watching Fox News than any other station. But the other stations, if you add up their numbers.
But they're not really playing the impeachment. They got it on the background. They kind of jump in once in a while, but they're not really showing it.
Right. So we get that. So New York Times controversial endorsement the other day of two candidates.
Two people. What is that?
So that's why when you ask me who's going to win the Super Bowl, I could have said, I'm picking the Chiefs and the 49ers.
Thank you, New York Times.
I don't know if they know how to. This isn't Chicago. Like, you can only vote once. Like, you get, you know. So
what they're saying is vote for one of the female candidates. That's all we
care
about.
Well, I think what they were saying was don't vote for Biden and don't vote for Sanders. I think that was I think that was the ultimate message, Joe.
Klobuchar and Warren are not really close, other than being Democrats. They're not really close in the political spectrum.
No,
one's very moderate and one's...
Yeah, no, I think ultimately what their point was is it depends on which Democratic Party you think they need to be moving forward. If you want to go really progressive with some really progressive ideas...
But don't vote for Joe.
Vote for Elizabeth Warren and don't vote for Bernie. And if you want to go more moderate, don't vote for Biden, vote for Amy Klobuchar. So I think that's what they were looking at. I think ultimately if push came to shove there was a little bit more about this coming out on Thursday. The assistant editor of editorials or deputy editor of editorials for New York Times went on a podcast and I listened to it and she basically, I think if push came to shove, she would have voted for Elizabeth Warren or they would have endorsed Elizabeth Warren, but they were just, there's an electability factor there. Do you think that she could actually beat Trump in an election? And I think that's sort of what the – but you got to pick one. And if you're not sure, say we're not sure. And wait. But don't give me the – yeah.
Isn't this kind of early for a nomination for president or an
endorsement? It is, but the reason they typically do it now is because the Iowa caucus is coming up here in a couple of weeks. And so they usually do it before then. But they said, okay, here's our radical thing. We're going to give you two. Well, how about be really radical and say, we're not going to give you any right now. And we'll wait. Part of the problem, Rick, is they did it on this TV show, which is really good, The Weekly. They went on this television show and they did it on there. And I think they had a debt. Like, we told everybody we're going to reveal it at the end of this show.
So now we have to.
And they have to. But I would have waited and just said, yeah, sorry, we're not doing either one. Just come, you know, watch the show again in 3 weeks.
and now both those people are locked up in a... in the Senate hearing room, and neither one can actually campaign. So
that's right. And Joe Biden feels like he won,
which maybe he did ultimately. Yeah, so exactly. He's Tom Jones. You can read him on pointer.org. And of course, very generous with his time to go on our podcast as well. Thanks, Tommy. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Rick.
Always great to catch up with Tom Jones. And of course, we got the Pro Bowl this weekend, NHL All-Star game as well. So something for you guys to watch while we get ready for Super Bowl week coming up the big teams arrive on Sunday, and then Monday is kind of a media day down there, and I'll be in Miami to bring you that as well. Hey, folks, before we go, remember now, if you're tired of paying these high electric bills, listen to me now. If you want to save 90 to 95% off your electric bill, please call my friends at May Electric Solar. They're a locally owned company. They've been around for 13 years. They have a great reputation. Let's stop the insanity of these out-of-control electric bills, and let's start saving some money now. Call May Electric Solar at 727-819-2862. That's 727-819-2862. For Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.